The head of Latvia's central bank has been detained, and lots of diamonds today in Indian banking and in Africa's mines. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The head of Latvia's central bank has been detained. There are no details yet, but the detention comes after troubles at Latvia's third largest bank. ABLV had its payments frozen after the U.S. Treasury Department accused it of links to North Korea's weapons program and of possible money laundering. Sunita Yimberger is executive editor of the Baltic Center for Investigative Journalism in Riga.
The Latvian banking system has gone through many earthquakes, but this is quite exceptional. The Latvian banking system was built partially into servicing these non-residential banks, these former ex-US country nationals who were trying to get money out of the countries, and part of that money was dirty, which meant that Latvia for a long time acted as sort of washing machine for that money. Now, US Treasury, a special unit there which deals with the banking, proposed that one of the biggest Latvian banks, ABLV, is cut off the US financial system, and there's a very strong political pressure to investigate the crimes related to finances, because the transfers to North Korea, sanctioned entities had been mentioned, plundering of Ukrainian budget has been mentioned, stealing $1 billion in Moldova has been mentioned. And for a very long time, Latvian authorities went, it's not a banking problem. And at this moment, it is. And as a cherry on the top comes the arrest of the head of central bank, which is in no way mentioned as directly linked to this case of ABLV. But both cases contain the statements that high-ranking Latvian banking officials has been extorting bribes.
Sunita Yimberger. Let's do the numbers. Many markets in Asia and the US closed for the Lunar New Year and President's Day holidays. Europe's open. It's a mixed session, with Spain's IBEX the only gainer, up 10 points or 0.1%. Now, investigators in India have closed down a branch of a state-run bank at the heart of a $1.7 billion fraud. It's a part of a jewelry empire owned by the billionaire Nirav Modi, who left the country back in January. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more.
He has marquee stores across different parts of the world, including cities like New York, London. Kate Winslet has wore his jewelry at a red carpet event. So has Naomi Watts. And he's also one of the richest guys in India. His companies were taking loan from an Indian public sector bank. And in this case, $1.8 billion worth of credit was given without any guarantee. And nor was that recorded in the banking system.
Now, the bank itself, Punjab National Bank, it's one of the oldest Indian state banks. And these publicly owned banks are notoriously manual. I mean, I've been inside of them. Lots of ledgers, lots of counters you have to line up at for a single transaction.
That's right. I mean, Indian public sector banks, which dominate the banking system here in India, have been slow to adapt to computerization. A lot of branches you'll still find in India where the entries are made manually. And that's exactly what's happened in this particular case.
And in terms of bad loans in the Indian public banking sector, how big a problem is that?
Bad debt is a huge problem for Indian banks. That amount runs into billions and billions of dollars. 70% of the loans that are issued in India are by government-owned banks. Nirav Modi is just the first case. And there are many such instances across India right now, which is also having a drag on the Indian economy. Because if the banks are struggling, they are not in a position to issue new loans to other companies or other small businesses.
Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. More diamonds. This time we head to the world's largest mining firm, De Beers. They're piloting blockchain technology to help make diamonds conflict-free. The BBC's Ed Butler met De Beers executive David Prager in London.
I'm going to reach down and touch this beautiful stone. Now, it's the size of my thumb or bigger. It's a rough diamond. How much is this worth?
Probably in the neighborhood of about $2 million.
You're going to need to mark each one, aren't you?
The challenge for us is, how do we build this blockchain technology that allows us to track a diamond's journey from the mine all the way through to the consumer? So there are two ways. The primary source information, if you think about it, these are all the physical characteristics of a diamond. It's 4Cs, it's cut, it's clarity, it's carat weight. And then there's the secondary information. the certification of each diamond, invoices attached to each diamond. We're building a blockchain where each diamond has about 180 or so bits of information, bits of data that allow us to know with complete confidence that a diamond is unique, and it allows us to track it from one place to another.
So somebody in a store can literally see the provenance of each stone that they are buying and can trace it back to a responsible source.
That's right. The key is they should feel assured about where their diamonds come from.
There are places where diamonds are being produced which do not have such a shiny reputation, let's be honest. And are they not going to be excluded from this? Because they're so underdeveloped, it's going to be very, very hard for them to join in, even if they are responsibly producing diamonds.
If we can help those countries create minimum standards for their mining sites to do with labor and human rights and environmental standards, and we can track a diamond back to a digging site that adheres to those standards and put it on the blockchain, I think what we might find is that we can provide a route to market for those diamonds and hopefully uplift community by creating opportunities for wage growth and employment around those sites.
David Prager of De Beers. Finally, a portrait of a prominent critic of the Thai monarchy was sold at auction for more than $6,000. The money goes to fund the legal defense of those accused under Thailand's punishing lèse majeste laws, which carry prison sentences for insulting the monarchy. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.